Good morning, it's Air Talk. I'm Larry Mantle. Wonderful to have you with us wherever you're listening, here in Southern California, or listening around the world on the KPECC app or at kpecc.org. Coming up a little bit later this hour, we'll talk about the Minneapolis effort to defund the police department and to dismantle it. Lots happened since they made that pledge in the wake of nationwide protests over the killing of George Floyd. We'll get an update on that. And also, diversity training, which has become much more popular in American organizations and in businesses in the wake of the nationwide protests. We'll talk with a Harvard researcher, actually heads a department at Harvard, which studies how to scientifically conduct diversity training. And the professor who heads that up has some rather pointed criticism over how most diversity training is done. But we begin with a look at tonight's first of the 2020 presidential debates between Donald Trump and Joe Biden. It'll be at Case Western Reserve University in Cleveland. Chris Wallace of Fox News will be moderating the debate. And with us to talk about the stakes is Tyler Pager, who's national political reporter for Bloomberg News. Tyler, so good to have you with us.
Thanks so much for having me.
Let's talk first of all about the stakes that are perceived to be involved here with comparatively few Americans seemingly undecided in this election. What is the perception of the degree of persuadability in out of this debate?
Right. So polls show a very small slice of the electorate is actually undecided heading into November's election. And so for Donald Trump, that poses a problem. As the polls show, Joe Biden has a healthy lead nationally and a significant lead in most of the critical swing states. And so for Trump, this is an opportunity to try to shake up the race and regain some of the momentum that he's lost over the last few months and try to put Biden on his back feet. For Biden, it's a little bit more risky. Biden is not known as the best debater among the Democrats. He's delivered solid performances in the past, got through the Democratic primary where he was the target of a lot of attacks. But for him, it's just one-on-one tonight, and he's going to need to be able to kind of take in a barrage of attacks, a lot of them likely to be personal, from the president of the United States.
Well, and both of the men have tempers. And, you know, it's funny because there was criticism of Joe Biden in the vice presidential debates with Paul Ryan, particularly about what people thought was condescending approach of Joe Biden. But compared to Donald Trump, you just can't out-condescend Donald Trump. So I wonder if even the critique of Joe Biden in his debating in the past, is it all relevant given how Trump blots out the sun with the extreme nature of his tactics?
Right. It's funny. Joe Biden's wife, Jill Biden, was doing an interview with CNN, and Jake Tapper asked her about Biden's propensity to make gaffes. And Joe Biden shut down the question and said, "Trump is the president of the United States. You can't even question my husband's speaking abilities. It's just not even a point of comparison." And I think that gets to your point about just how the expectations and the stakes for the debate have been fundamentally changed with a president as unorthodox as Donald Trump. And that's one of the things, speaking with people that were involved in Joe Biden's debate prep, that they were really focused on, was trying to make sure that he didn't lose his temper and he didn't get too defensive when Donald Trump inevitably attacks him and his son. Hunter Biden is likely to be a focus of Donald Trump's attacks tonight. And in the past, Joe Biden has gotten quite defensive when his son gets criticized. And so we'll see whether or not he's able to maintain his composure during those attacks and really focus on what he and his team want him to focus on, which is the coronavirus pandemic, the more than 200,000 Americans that have died, and the economic recession that has followed.
I'd love to hear from Air Talk listeners. If you were advising either or both of the candidates, what advice would you give them in advance of tonight's first of three presidential debates between Joe Biden and President Trump? 866-893-KPECC, 866-893-KPECC. 893-5722 or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. Also with me is Director of Debate at the University of Michigan and author of the book Debating the Donald, Aaron Call. Thank you so much, Ms. Call, for joining us once again. We've always appreciated your analysis about these presidential debates. I know you're in Cleveland for tonight's debate. Tyler, by the way, will be flying on Joe Biden's plane. He's covering the Biden campaign to go to Cleveland for the debate. So, Aaron, let me get your thoughts here about, you know, given how Donald Trump has conducted himself in the previous debates, what does Joe Biden have to be most concerned about?
Yes, great to be back on the show. It's really, you know, committing a major error or gaffe that would reset the narrative of the race and turn it into, you know, something about competency and mental acuity, given his age and that he would be the oldest president sworn in the United States. And so he's certainly been inconsistent in the 11 primary debates, you know, had a really tumultuous performance starting out in Miami, but then rebounded in places like South Carolina in his last debate in Washington, D.C. And so he just, I think, needs to turn in an average performance, but just guard against doing no harm, not making a catastrophic mistake that will then control the media cycles for after the debate and focus on his fitness for presidency. Because if things go as they are into the election, you know, I think he'd be very happy with that. So you come in as the front runner, just not don't make a major mistake and have the race reset in a way that will be unfortunate to your campaign.
How does Biden find that sweet spot between being forceful in responding to Trump, but not running the risk of damaging one of the themes of his candidacy is that he's the normal person. He's the, you know, the candidate who's civil and doesn't fly off the handle. So what's the way that he comes back strongly enough, but doesn't in any way emulate the Trump style?
Yeah, I think he needs to pick his spots because certainly, you know, trying to respond to every head-on attack and getting, you know, wrestling in the mud with President Trump is not going to work as a strategy. It's not really, doesn't fit him with his debate style. He hasn't done it much previously and probably wouldn't work out well. But at the same time, you also can't just let things go because they have a cumulative impact. I mean, thinking back to the, you know, debate with Michael Dukakis and about the death penalty and, you know, him not really having a human reaction to that if his wife was, you know, killed in a horrific manner. And so you just, when, you know, if President Trump attacks his son, Hunter Biden, I think it's very appropriate to go back and, you know, from the perspective of a father, because I think voters and those watching the debate, you know, that have sons would defend their, you know, their son in the same way. But not on every issue. It's really just out of the 90 minutes, picking a few instances where you have to fight back. But the other majority portion of the debate, take the high road, you know, use the words of Michelle Obama, when they go low, you go high, kind of turn a cheek and just, you know, try not to get off kilter, on tilt. And that's really what President Trump is looking for. He's looking for Joe Biden to make a self-inflicted error that will, you know, change the perception of the race. And we'll have to just see if Joe Biden has the discipline to hit back at appropriate moments, but not for the continual debate, because he is, you know, picks himself as the, you know, someone to bridge the future, someone that can heal some of the division in the country. And so you don't want to lose your mantle on that important issue.
EGW writes on our AirTalk page at kpcc.org, we haven't seen media tough on Biden yet. Odds are that won't change. Aaron Call, University of Michigan, your thoughts about what we're likely to see from Chris Wallace. You know, I was thinking of the recent Joe Biden news conference where essentially, you know, the questions were all about how horrible do you think Donald Trump is. He wasn't really asked anything that was particularly challenging. And you think Chris Wallace, in his questions, is likely to present some challenges to Biden?
I do. I think both to Biden and President Trump, when we saw the July interview with Chris Wallace and Donald Trump, and that was very controversial and it made a lot of news. And so, no, he's a very well-respected neutral moderator. He moderated the 2016 Las Vegas debate. He was the only moderator asked back from the last cycle, and so everyone has a lot of confidence in him. I think he will ask tough probing questions. In the 2016 debate, he said he wasn't going to be a potted plant, and so he's going to make sure to interject himself. Joe Biden has been invited on Fox News Sunday for the last several months, but has declined that, so he can no longer escape the scrutiny and the tough questions from Chris Wallace. So you expect a similar performance from 2016 in Las Vegas, and he's obviously already announced the six topics that are very appropriate. He'll still also likely have to address, you know, this major tax investigation by the New York Times, since that came after the announcement of the topics. But one thing I think he's not going to do is fact-check everything in real time. And both the Commission on Presidential Debates and he have kind of said that that's not the role of the moderator in these debates. And I think you're going to leave that to the candidates and to the pundits after the fact. And we've seen some instances of that not go over so well. Candy Crowley in 2012 debate between President Obama and Mitt Romney, and then even Lester Holt in 2016 in September became a real-time fact-checker. And so I think he'll just ask the questions and let the debaters and their answers speak for themselves play an important role in those who are still undecided in voting.
Well, in so much, the American public can't agree on the fact-checking either. So even that is not like it's not some neutral thing that people are going to agree that the fact-checking has been conducted impartially. We're talking with Aaron Call, who directs debate at the University of Michigan, author of the book Debating the Donald, and Tyler Pager, national political reporter for Bloomberg News. I'd like to hear from you if you have particular advice to either or both of the candidates that you think would be important for them to present themselves in the best possible way and to provide voters with the most possible information. We're at 866-893-KPECC, 866-893-5722, or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. Tyler Pager of Bloomberg News, I know you're going to be traveling to Cleveland a little bit later. What are your thoughts about the small in-the-hall audience, I guess around 100 people because of COVID distancing that's going to be taking place? How might that affect the way the candidates present themselves?
Yeah, it'll look more like a typical Joe Biden event these days than one of Donald Trump's rallies. Joe Biden has only held very small, socially distant events since he resumed campaigning in the past few weeks and months, compared to Donald Trump, who continues to hold very large 1,000-person rallies in airport hangars around the country. I was actually just traveling with the president last Friday, went to Newport News, Virginia with him, where there were thousands of screaming fans supporting the president, and Joe Biden has much fewer people at his events, sometimes even fewer than 10 guests with reporters and staff around. So I don't know how much the audience will actually play a factor in the debate, where I think the candidates will be primarily focused on each other. But we saw in previous debates last cycle, where Donald Trump brought some guests as kind of a taunt to Hillary Clinton. Some of his advisors have said on Twitter today that we should expect similar sort of a guest this time around. They have yet to announce them. Biden announced that his three guests are people that are speak to some of the issues on COVID relief, on union worker and jobs. So his guests are pretty targeted toward the issues. It remains to be seen who Trump will bring tonight.
Aaron Call, you think that this disadvantages Trump to not have a responsive audience that he historically feeds off of?
Oh, absolutely. And President Trump has never been in a debate without an audience, going back to his 11 primary debates and three general election debates with Hillary Clinton. And so I do think this is an advantage to Joe Biden. He participated in a debate just in March with Bernie Sanders in a television studio in Washington, D.C. That had no audience. And so he has some experience. And so you're going to have this audience of 75, 80 people all wearing masks and really no audible responses. And yes, as you mentioned, President Trump thrives off of the responses, just knowing what his line of attack, whether it's working, just kind of seeing the response to that. So he's going to have a sharp learning curve on this, really trust his guts and instincts. And I think one final thing, the reason this is going to help Joe Biden is because it really deflates the impact of zingers in a debate when you don't have an audience and you don't have that audible response. And so I think that they'll quickly move on to something else, and you wouldn't have as big of a sting and an impact. I think in a normal debate, President Trump would be more likely to land some of those, looking back at his previous primary debates. But it's going to be more substantive. The debate's going to be longer because there's not going to be any audience interruptions. And so I think it may take him, President Trump, a little time to adjust to this new format.
Yeah, it's an excellent observation. Brendan Long Beach says, I would hope when Biden is inevitably confronted by Trump about his son, Hunter, that Biden counters that Trump's children aren't part of the race and neither are Biden's. I think he has a good response to that. That's Brenda in Long Beach. Mattia on Facebook says, Biden needs a one-line retort akin to Ronald Reagan's, well, there you go again, and delivered with a smile, but he must have a comeback. It is what Hillary didn't do. That's Mattia on Facebook. Aaron Call, your thoughts about her observation.
Well, I think it may be true of Hillary Clinton, but at the same time, all the public polling and everything indicated that Hillary Clinton won those three debates. Now, she didn't win the election. There was a lot of other intervening factors. You had the Comey letter after the debates and things like that. But Hillary Clinton did well. I think Joe Biden, if you tell him right now that he would just take the performance of Hillary Clinton in the three debates, he would do that with no problem. But yes, I mean, it's being succinct is not something that he's had a great deal of experience with, and he's been gaffe prone, and sometimes he goes on rambles too long on intangential subjects, but then also sometimes he can be too short. In several in the primary debates, when he was trying to compensate for that, he would say his time was done, even though it wasn't, and that made him look bad as well. And so, yes, being succinct, and he had a little bit of experience with this in one of his vice presidential debates that was very successful. He'll have some of his normal arguments like "come on, man" or "malarkey." I'm sure we'll hear those. But after a 47-year public career, I don't think we're going to get a different Joe Biden debate. The one that we've seen in all these primary debates, vice presidential debates, I think is what we're going to do. It's not going to recreate the wheel at this time.
Yeah, I'll personally be disappointed if we don't hear at least one malarkey. It sort of, feel robbed without that from Joe Biden. Eric in Northridge says, for Biden, he needs to lean into the facts of Trump's policies, regardless of Trump's demeanor. That's where Joe needs to keep the conversation on the facts. That's Eric in Northridge. Adrian writes on the AirTalk Facebook page, should be interesting. No crowd for either candidate to feed off of. Planning to watch at home and with friends via Zoom. Considering a drinking game relying on what candidates say or by their mannerisms. And malarkey certainly has to be part of that, Adrian. Thank you for that comment. I do wonder, Aaron Call, University of Michigan, about if Trump goes after Chris Wallace of Fox News, which he has in the past, which is potential here, are there any points that Biden could score by at all getting into that, or does he just need to keep himself out of that?
Well, he could, try to defend the moderator and get some points for that. But generally, when candidates are attacking the moderators or rules, it's best to stay back because it's likely they're not doing themselves, any help, and the public and audience recognize that and say, if you're arguing with the moderator and the rules, then you're probably not winning the debate. So I think the best advice would just kind of let sleeping dogs lie there. But I think it'd be a mistake. I mean, Chris Wallace was obviously chosen by the commission now a second time. He's Fox News, but it wouldn't be surprising given that even, Fox News has been a supporter of President Trump and his candidacy and many of the opinion shows, but he has attacked Fox News recently, just like he's attacked the New York Times. But just going back to the earlier point, attacking the moderators in debates is something that's common. We've seen it a lot, saw it with President Trump and other candidates in the Republican primary debates in 2016. But with no audience, that tactic doesn't work as well because it doesn't. If you just attack and there's no audible response or something from the crowd, you don't get that kind of mileage out of it. It doesn't provide you the interruption that you need. And so that strategy, again, may not be something that works as well given the lack of the audience.
Final question for you. President Trump has been talking so much about the cognitive level of Joe Biden and, making him sound like he's so doddering he could hardly get a sentence out. So when Joe Biden comes in tonight and is able to present himself well and able to come up with words that he wants to speak, the fact that Trump set that bar so low strategically, was that a mistake that the president made?
Oh, a total mistake. And he's paying the consequences in that all the public polling shows that people believe President Trump is going to win the debates on independence by a 10-point margin. And that's because of this caricature that's been set up for the last several months. I think that's part of the reason that Joe Biden's Democratic National Convention speech was reviewed so well, because people weren't expecting anything like what they saw. And so, yes, these expectations, Joe Biden just has to give an average performance, and I think it'd be okay. And yes, there's going to be some gaffes, and that's kind of built in just because Joe Biden's been around for so long. But President Trump also has to be very careful that he doesn't make fun of Joe Biden for stuttering, which is something that he's talked about publicly and works with kids on. That could backfire and engender sympathy from the audience. So there's a fine line with just misstating facts or rambling, as opposed to a stutter, which causes something during the debate, in which he should certainly stay away from that.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. That's Aaron Call, who directs debate at the University of Michigan and author of Debating the Donald, and Tyler Pager, national political reporter for Bloomberg News. Both of these gentlemen in Cleveland tonight for the debate. Tyler will be flying there covering Joe Biden on the Biden press plane, and Aaron is already there in Cleveland for tonight's debate. Samantha writes on Facebook in response to my asking for listener advice to the candidates. Samantha writes, just be presidential, Joe. That's what we're starving for at this point. You're listening to Air Talk on 89.3 KPECC. Coming up, the latest on what's happening in Minneapolis, where that city's council went to the forefront of defunding the police and voted to do just that. We'll talk about what's happening with that effort back in just 1 minute on Air Talk.